Welcome, Nikki, to For the Love of Group Fitness podcast.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No, I know you're super busy. You're like juggling. You juggle lots of different things, don't you?
Yeah, I do try. I drop them sometimes as well, but I'm very good at picking them back up.
I know, that's the key thing, right? We all drop things, it's not picking them back up. Yeah, because yeah. I was watching... What did I watch this morning? I was scrolling through Facebook and one of your videos popped up and it was a step class that you were teaching.
Yeah, and the cat nearly took me out.
So tell our listeners a little bit about how did you end up in this industry? Did you always want to be in this industry?
Actually, I'm a trained dancer, so I'm from a dance background. But when I was training in college and uni, I really found it fascinating learning about the body. My study was a lot to do with dance injury and helping people. So I did a lot of work on learning about Pilates, yoga, and the importance of stretch and mobility to keep the body supple and happy. And then when I finished, there wasn't a lot of work out there for dancers at the time. I was doing a lot of community-based projects, and I used to love going to the gym and joining in classes. And I decided to enroll on a fitness course to see how different it was from the anatomy and physiology side of things that I'd learned from a contemporary dance training. And it blew my mind, and I thought, right, I've got to try and figure out how I can keep the love of what I know of dance and this newfound knowledge of fitness and make them marry towards each other. That's where it sort of evolved from. But I was talking to my mum about when I started in the fitness industry not long ago, and she said, do you remember when you was in school and you told a PE teacher, I'm going to take the class today? And I said, that, what? And then, you know, when your memory is like back here, and then it came flashing to the front of my brain. And I do remember, and they call it high school now, but my seniors, I actually told the teacher, last week he did an aerobic class, I think I can do that, can I give it a go? And I just stood at the front of the class, and he was like, walk this way, do some squat, do a little star jump, do a little walk. Obviously, it wasn't a very big routine, but I actually stood there and did it, and they used it as part of my grade. Confident in front of a room of people.
Amazing. I bet you didn't think then that you'd be doing what you're doing today.
No, definitely not. I was the sporty kid in school. I was the one who got told off that I was going to school and trainers. Take your trainers off, go to school shoes on. That was me, living in sports clothing.
So what did you, so when you were growing up as a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Did you know?
I just wanted to dance. I love music. I absolutely love music. I love all different types of music, but I was the number one Five Star fan. I loved Five Star in the 80s. I wanted to be in Five Star so bad. I love Michael Jackson. I love Prince. So I always loved music that I could move to, and obviously, like any movies with dancing, I was obsessed with watching them. I used to put little shows on for my nan and granddad, and I'd just meet my friends in the street, let's put a dance together, let's do this. I just was obsessed with dancing, and I knew that was where I wanted to go. Yeah, I just loved the form of dance, but also lots of different styles of dance. Like, I trained, but I was a street dancer from a very young age, and then trained in contemporary dance, and I fell in love with contemporary dance. Martha Graham blew my mind, and I absolutely love Cunningham technique because of the extension work. Like, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing right now is to do with blending the two forms of contraction, extension together, and coming up with just lovely ways of flow, a fluid move. It feels so nice on the body and opens you up, feeling happy.
So how did you do, what was it, was that big leap? If you said your background's from street dance and then doing contemporary. So for non-dancers who are listening in, that can seem quite a big jump, or, you know, quite a difference.
Yeah, it is, but it kind of worked for me, because when I was a street dancer, I loved telling stories with what I was doing with the movement. It wasn't just me standing there dancing. You're interpreting the music, you're hitting certain levels, certain beats, certain lyrics. So when it comes to crossing over into contemporary, it's all storytelling. It's explaining. It's quite romantic. Some of it can be sad. Some of it can be completely joyful. So from that side of things, I loved it. And also a fusion. You can fuse styles, not completely, but contemporary and hip hop can actually complement each other really well. Especially with a lot of commercial music these days, some of it can be really dark, but then uplifting, and you can hear choreography within the music, and then it's really inspiring to try and fuse that hardness with the softness. It actually is like light and shade, goes really nice, complement each other.
What was that dance program? I think it didn't really show it that much on British TV. It's American. Is it So You Think You Can Dance or something?
Yeah.
Where they were obviously specialists in a particular dance style, but then over each week they had to like dance a different style, didn't they?
Yeah.
And sometimes dance together and stuff. That was amazing.
Yeah, I love that show. The American one was amazing. I think they did do a few UK ones. I don't think it was as popular as the American one.
I come from more of a sport background. Martial arts, I just love to kick and beat people up, really.
The opposite. Come on, Andy. They're messing with you.
You know, I need the yoga in my life to calm me down. It's anger management. but, you know, I'm so in awe, you know, like watching dancers just have that ability to, you know, it's the fine motor control and to bring emotion across, you know, and move people. It's just amazing.
Yes, absolutely. It's an art form that needs celebrating so much, because the dance industry can be exploited quite easily, and I found it really hard. Like, you have to deal with rejection quite a bit, because you go for auditions and maybe they're not quite like what you're looking for, and if you think of the whole mental health side of rejection or putting yourself out there to be rejected, it's not easy, and you have to really be truly in love with the art of dance to put yourself into that type of scenario, and you need a thick skin to go, okay, next one, let's go.
I was talking to, on the podcast, a previous episode, I chatted to Helen Carpenter-Waters, and through COVID, I think the last year, she got some dance gigs.
Yeah. She's doing TV work again.
She's like, she goes like the second oldest person next to me, and she's like in the 50s, right, is 25.
She's a legend. She's a machine, that woman. I work with Helen Carpenter-Waters a few times a year. And she inspires me so much. She's unbelievable. I love that woman.
Yeah, I think she said she didn't expect to start getting offers, you know, like having left the industry so long ago and being older now, you know. But I think it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah. She's inspirational.
So how have you found your journey? How long have you been in group fitness now?
So, in May, this will be my 27th year. Oh, my life. Yeah, 27 years teaching fitness. I started presenting in the UK in 2002, internationally 2005. So, been a big journey for me, because I went into doing part-time fitness instructor, into group X, then I was a Group X manager and a fitness manager for Fitness First. And then I went to LA Fitness and then I started presenting. So I went from being a gym manager to back into just freelancing so I could teach as much as I could and hone my craft and come up with new concepts and ideas. So that was kind of my journey from the beginning.
And you're obviously now involved with Pure Energy Music in the UK. How did that come about?
During lockdown, they reached out to me because I was promoting their music through lockdown, music that I was using, telling other instructors, I've just got this from Pure Energy, it's good for this class, it's got this, I've got this. And Andy Pickles, have you done a podcast with Andy?
Yeah, he was on my summit, yeah.
Yeah, Andy reached out to me and asked me to come in, and he said, thank you for helping supporters and promoters. Would you be interested in coming in and helping us like a consultant? So I started a few days just listening to music, getting it right, giving them some advice on certain vibes, certain styles, even the BPM. And then it's just gone on from there very, very quickly. And I'm like, I need more of your time. I need you to do this. You're good at this. Do this, do this, do this. And now I'm a label manager and I couldn't be happier because, like I said earlier, I fell in love with music from such an early age. So this was just such a, it was almost like a natural progression. And I couldn't be more thankful to Andy, Rachel, and like the producers here. So talented. Blows my mind some days when I'm sitting amongst these DJs and producers and I'm like pinching myself going, this has got to be the coolest job. I'm so happy. Like I'm waiting for someone to like wake me up and go, maybe wake up. But yeah, I love working. I love working in at Pure Energy. Every day is different, and also the people around me inspire me so much. And it's always really nice when you see videos or people sharing online. They've used a certain mix, and like in my head, I'm watching you go, I know how much work went into that track you're listening to right now. So it just opens your heart and makes you feel really happy with everything.
That's amazing. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, I think sometimes, you know, instructors don't really appreciate everything that goes behind the scenes to produce music.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Like, you know, hats off to everybody who's involved, you know.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like, you know, that was just something you were just going about doing what you're doing, you know, sharing what you're doing, and then this opportunity appeared for you. And he just went, hang on a minute.
He did. He pulled me into the mix and it came out of nowhere. Come and have a meeting with me. We had a little chat. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And working with Andy as well is a big eye-opener because I've learned so much. He's so innovative and the way he is all the time is keeps me on my toes and keeps me busy. And his musical background as well is an inspiration on its own. Like, I don't know if you can see behind me, but it's all record labels and plaques all around this building of all memorabilia of everything that the foundation of Pure Energy has been a part of from way back to like jumpy bumpy days.
Yes.
And then there's loads of different music companies within this umbrella. So we have Master Mix, which is music for DJs. We have the Tidy Boys, and Andy is the Tidy Boy with Amadeus Mozart.
Yes.
Actually, that's Anna Bach right there, one of the now 31 that he worked on. So it's not just some people in a room going, right, should we work on some Latin music? What instruments do we use? We've got everything from world-class hard house DJs to beautiful musicians and vocalists like Hannah Rose, who will come in and help us with our sound baths. So there's a lot of research and a a lot of skills that come from every direction, and not every mix. Some mixes just work because, like me and Lee, we're like peas in the pod. We work really well together. We bounce ideas from each other. But some producers, you just leave them to it, and you go, "Here's a masterpiece," and you listen to it, and you're like, "Oh my god!" It takes your breath away. Some of the music that is written, especially the Mind Body albums, they're so eclectic, from piano, lo-fi, and then up into vocals and beats. Everything's written from scratch, literally from scratch, from a blank canvas. And then this piece of art just is worked on, and it comes across so beautifully, and I couldn't be prouder. I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I just want to get it across that I couldn't be prouder of Pure Energy and the music that we put out. And I just hope people appreciate it, and it grows and grows and grows, and people love it even more.
Do you know, yesterday, so at the start of the year, I've agreed to do some maternity cover with someone I know, and one of the classes is a legs, bums, core, and I haven't taught that in like 9 years, right? And I was like, it's all right, it's just a maternity. Anyway, so I was in my class yesterday, and I put the music on, and it was one of your Latin tracks. So I think I did disco the first week, so it's sort of week three. Last week was one of the 80s tracks, and then yesterday I had a bit of Latin on. And I had one gentleman in the class, elderly gentleman, right? The rest are all women. And so I said, "So what do you fancy? Do you fancy a bit of disco, a bit of, you know?" And he went, "This is good." It was one of your Latin tracks. He goes, "This is good." I was like, "Oh, I wish you did Latin."
Oh, we've got his approval.
Yeah, his approval. So, all right, then. He's so funny. Oh, dear. But it was really lovely because there is that selection, you know, and I just find that sometimes, especially the older ones, because it's mid-morning class, and they were saying, "Oh, it's all just this beat, you know, we just want some light stuff, you know, that we can kind of like bop along to, but still work hard," which is really nice. So, but yeah, no, it's great music. Going back to this whole thing, like Andy kind of spotted you doing what you do. Have you always kind of approached your group fitness career that way, where you just do what you do, put the work in, hone your craft, do what you do, or were you always like chasing to get somewhere?
I've never been good at doing someone else's thing or choreography, or I would do training courses to fill my brain and inspire me to maybe learn new concepts. Like during lockdown, I spent the best part of 2 years training in myofascia training with Ruby Campbell. So I'm a trigger point therapy, women's health ambassador as well. So I learned a lot about that because so many people were suffering with stress, anxiety, and I wanted to learn more about different ways of training people at home, and lowering cortisol levels and try and make them sleep a bit better, help them with their anxiety. So when it comes to me finding my way, I always had to stick with freestyle and creating my own way. Even when I'm teaching my dance classes, I have to be in a room with just music, and like I said earlier, I can see choreography. I can't read somebody else. I've never been good at reading choreography notes and going, that goes there, because I'd probably give it a go and go, "Oh, I want to move this way, but my body's telling me to go over here or add a rotation," or, you know. So for me to find my craft, I had to practice for a very long time, finding out who I was as a person, and also learning how to explain. So I never, when I'm teaching a class, if somebody doesn't get it's my fault, not theirs. It's always me as the instructor, right? How can I communicate with that person so that they understand it? Because verbally, they might not be understanding me. they might understand me more visually, or maybe if I stand a little bit closer to them and they can mimic my body movement in that direction. Now, we all learn differently, don't we? I'm not very good, like I said, about reading notes. For me personally, I'm a visual person. If I see something, I'm inspired. I will then go and move my way. So yeah, when it comes to my own craft, especially with street dance is very personal to me because there's so many aspects of street dance, loads of different varieties. I'm an old school hip hop fan. I love the history of hip hop, where it comes from, the education behind it, what's a breakbeat, why the B-boys and B-girls love the breakbeat so much rather than the visual part of the tracks, how the DJ put the music together to make the crowd go, "Way!" That's what I want to dance to. So yeah, there's some of my inspirations and how I found who I am as a instructor. And even just who I am as me as well, because some people don't understand who you are, or you will say something a certain way, one person gets it, the other person doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's group fitness, isn't it? Group fitness is a load of people in the room who don't look, think, or act the same. So when it comes to taking your information as an instructor, you would all take it in a slightly different way. And just being understanding that is a big thing, I think, for instructors, because I think as a new instructor, I used to really beat myself up thinking, why didn't we all go the same direction as me? Why was that one or two person like not looking as happy as the other people? But it's an emotional connection as well, isn't it? Someone might be having a fantastic day, so they're loving everything that you do. Or some people have a bad couple of days at work or family or just general life stuff, and the look on the face is not as happy as the next person, but they're just there keeping the body's motion, trying to improve the mood. But you can't take it personally because nobody knows what's going on behind the eyes or the smile. And just, as long as you've got a sweaty brow and they're all happy at the end, then instructors have done a good job.
See, I think, you know, obviously I started in the freestyle world, and then I, you know, spent most of, 20 plus years with Les Mills.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, I've always said that, you know, yes, the choreography is pre-done for you, but you still need to have your own personal brand. You need to know who you are and what you bring to it. And that's something that I think freestylers do extremely well, because you figure it out early on.
Yeah.
That this is me, this is the style that I, this is how I teach, you know, and everything else. And, you know, that, like you say, about finding who you are.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what people buy into, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they do. And I've had so many people do training to become group X, like the exercise to music, because they love joining in classes, and I've helped them like find their way. But you see them at the beginning, "I want to teach that block of choreography later." You can't do that. You can try, but take inspiration from it. Maybe take like 4 counts, and then maybe increase the repetition until eventually you can bring the repetition down, and then you've got a highly choreographed piece. But I think people, once they do that, they realize how hard the job actually is. And I think sometimes there's a problem with certain training courses that people can book on without any form of qualifications, and they just go out there and think, "Right, I can do that, I'm going to go and do it, like, I'm off." And then they have to stand in front of a room full of people, and it's daunting. You've got people glaring at you going, "Come on then, let's do it." And it defeats them, puts them in an awkward position. And there just needs, I think, as the fitness industry grows, we need to go back a little bit to, you must have anatomy and physiology. You must have exercise for music. You must do these certain core things to to give you the tools and the confidence to go out and teach your very first class rather than a little online, like not all online courses, but there's certain courses out there that I've not agreed with for a long time because there's just no education behind it and you're setting people up to fail. You're taking the money, giving them a few hours of movement, and then you'd expect them to know what you're doing and have the confidence to stand in front of a room full of people. And, you know, what if little Joan over there falls over? What are you going to do? Have you been told? Have you done your... Do you even understand that? So I think from the fitness industry point of view, I would personally like us to go back to where you had to have all then certain aspects of training before you let people loose on the community and the public.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing, isn't it? It's like, because not everyone's come from a performing background, not everyone's an extrovert, you know, but they all love group fitness. And
yeah,
it's the confidence to be able, because it's, you know, people can be vicious, right? When you're you kind of go up there, it's like even covering a class, you're going,
and you get the folded arms, and you're like,
and then they look you up and down, like,
yeah. And they always compare, and how you can't compare one person to the next person, you just can't. I think I've been compared so much to other presenters, and I just don't get it because we're all so different and we deliver different things. But I think we're just in that place, aren't we, where we have to be careful how we treat people and we have to be careful what we say. And I'm a bit guilty sometimes because I try to treat people. My motto is treat people how I expect to be treated. I've always lived that way. But sometimes if I'm upset, my face tells you everything. I can't hide a lot with my mug. It just tells you exactly what's going on. No matter if it's in my voice, I'm like, "Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah." But my face is just like, "Blah, not today, not today."
I think so. It's also made me think, you know, like a lot of training providers, over the last 2 and a bit years with lockdown, have obviously kept training. They've continued to train instructors,
yeah,
across the board, from yoga to Pilates to group X, right? And but there are a bunch of instructors now who've qualified in the last 2 and a bit years who've never been in front of a class, and we're talking globally, right? Because some countries, yeah, they're still under, you know, social distancing and a lot of other stuff. So to then go from there, just being online in this online space, never having been in front of people, to like getting out there and teaching classes, it's a big jump, I think.
Yeah, massive. Absolutely massive. I wouldn't have the confidence to do that. No way.
Like, I'm a massive introvert and I'm shy, right? So I feel like I'd be useless. Yeah. Yeah, so tell us about some of the stuff. Are there things that you've done in your group fitness journey that you go, do you know what, I wouldn't do that again?
You know, sometimes we just take the work when it comes, don't we? I think actually, the craziest thing I've done is work without getting paid, which I think in this industry sometimes it can be, well, how about you come and work with us? We'll see how it goes. We won't pay you, but come back and do it again. I'd never do that again. No way. And I've encouraged quite a few instructors to not even, if someone contacts you to give you work, then let them know you work straight away. I used to do that a lot younger because I was so keen to get out there and present and do certain events, try different events. But I'd never do that again. And also, I'd get offered classes that I don't even teach on in my freelance classes. Like, I can get you to come and present. You can teach one of your dance classes, but then I need you to teach 2 aqua classes. Can't even swim. I'm not teaching aqua class, I'm sorry. I mean, I swim like a fish, and if something goes wrong in the pool, screwed. No, definitely not.
But this is to present, and they asked you to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So not even like regular and stuff, you know. So, yeah. I wouldn't do that again, definitely not.
But did you do it at the time?
Yeah, I did it. Oh. I did something called aqua games. So we basically got equipment in the water and made people do like like a sports day.
Yeah.
So like relays, circuit training in the pool. One of them went really wrong that one weekend. I think some of the people that got in the pool weren't on the fitness convention and were just, I think they were there as a party for something, and I think one of them was a bit drunk, and the women that were there from the fitness weekend were very upset, and I had to actually stop the class and get the people from the fitness convention out of the pool and leave them. We just ended up beating each other up with the woggles, and people were getting splashed and people were getting pushed in the water, and the lifeguard didn't help me, and I had to go and get the health club manager of the site to come and stop the situation. So yeah, I didn't even get to teach the actual class.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was a bit random.
Very random.
Yeah.
What have you done that you're proud of?
Super proud of. I think I'm super proud of obviously working at Pure Energy. But I think personally for myself, it was working with Nike Women in Europe. I did a big tour of Europe teaching my own dance projects. And that was one of my all-time favourite things in my presenting career, working with Nike Women. I did a Nike convention in Ljubljana in Slovenia. And it was the biggest hip hop class, like quantity of people, that I taught. I think I had something like 600 people in this space listening to me teaching a hip hop routine to Lenny Kravitz. Because I used to like mixing things up, like I said earlier, the tension, and I did, American Woman, boom, 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 and all them big guitar moments were hit with like big hip hop moves, loads of attitude, and the organizer of the event came in at the end and he said, "It sounds like a football stadium. Why are people screaming so much?" I said, "'Cause that's me." one of them euphoric moments, and that one class always stings straight to my mind when people ask for a proud moment. I absolutely loved that. And I had all inspirational presenters in the class as well, like I think Tony Stone, Anastasia was there, Lars was there, Tom Walt, they were all in the class. So as a presenter, and you've got your inspirational presenters in the class joining in, like your nerves are like this, but when the energy was just, you know, when things just work, it was one of them days when things just clicked and everything went really well. And yeah, that will be forever with me, that feeling.
You got videos and photos, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned Nike Women. So, mm-hmm. For our listeners, they might be interested, how did that happen?
So, originally, I did a UK tour of promoting Nike clothing and fitness with Janeway. Way back in the day. And I kept in contact with Nike. And then at IFS convention in Blackpool, the Chrysalis Promotions event, there was a guy called, what's his name, Nico. And he came as like a scout. He was from Slovenia. And he came and spoke to me and said, "I'm head of fitness and sports for Europe. Would you be interested in coming to do a class?" And he invited me just to one, and I think he was in March, I can't remember, I think it it was the weekend before the next year's Blackpool, so like it was a year in advance. So I went over there and taught two classes, and then at the end of that convention, he was like, right, we have this, 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 and this, are you interested in getting involved in all of them? And I was like, yeah, where do I sign? Tried to act all cool, but really inside, I was like, screaming. And so yeah, it went from just doing one and then snowballed into a lot more. So the story is, if you're out there covering a class or you're going to a convention, always be aware that there's opportunities all around you. Just allow yourself to be open to these things, because you never know who's there ready to go, excuse me, can we have a little chat? And then I think a lot of people in this type of day and age, social media presenting yourself, and it does take somebody to scroll and go, I really like what this person's doing. Send them a message. So be open to trying things, but also know your worth and say yes to something. Some things you'll learn, I shouldn't have said yes to that, but make sure either if something didn't make you happy or it didn't serve you and them purpose, then remember not to say yes again and move on to other things.
It is just, I guess it's just really just sharing with the world what you love, right? Mm-hmm. And then being open. Because I think sometimes I've come across people who are very set in terms of what they want progression-wise.
Yeah.
But then I just think, the universe will get you there, but it might be in a different package.
Yeah.
And if you're too, set, you might miss those other opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's a really nice way of explaining it.
So what are you personally working on right now?
Well, during lockdown, I had the opportunity to start writing my own concept, which has been slowly progressing over the last few years, my fluid moves, where I'm incorporating my contemporary training, my fitness, the blend together. So my next move is, I'm nearly ready with my training manual, and that's going to go out as an instructor training course to give people just some fresh ideas of what to do in their own classes. So I'm super proud and excited and scared at the same time, because this is the first time I'm putting something out there for instructors to buy into and take it away. But the feedback, and I presented it for the first time face-to-face at Cherry Baker's Pilates celebration, and the feedback was quite overwhelming. And I'm still getting messages going, did you say there was a course? When are we doing a course? So that's something that I'm working on right now to hopefully have it ready to go out into the world and have a piece of me to leave behind and get people moving in a nice way.
Amazing. Because you've got the music on Pure Energy, right? You've got the album, yeah.
So that the album that I made, Fluid Moves, was based around mindful conditioning. So even though it's 130 BPM, I actually use the half count. So it's around the 85 BPM. So, and the music isn't too much in your face. It's called the a future garage sound. So garage isn't as hard as house music, but also it has quite nice melodies and drops, a lot of light and shade, like I mentioned earlier. So it works very well for dance, conditioning, even performance tracks. There's a few tracks on there that I will pick for my online dance classes and do a nice lyrical piece to it. So it's got a lot of versatility, that album, and it seems to be coming across very well to people that haven't even seen what I do to it. So yeah, I'm happy with the music.
What do you having been in the industry for however long, 27 years,
Yeah, let's not keep saying that number.
What do you hope for the future of the industry, this industry right now?
I hope for Elon, I just want people to keep doing what they love and fighting for what they love, because I know there's a lot of people struggling. Well, we've got a living crisis at the minute, haven't we, with the economy, and I just want people to know the worth. I want people to do what they love and be super mindful of the people that are in front of them. I want the industry to go not almost back in the day, but I want it to become stronger again, because I feel like certain aspects of it have become a little bit samey, and we need something to shake us up and go, right, try this, do this, do this, and give people lots of inspiration. That's what I want, to inspire people. I want the industry to keep people inspired.
I agree. I felt that is that the, you know, this industry is kind of like in this lull. It needs some sort of shake up. You know, I definitely do agree. What that is, I don't know.
Yeah, even if, I mean, it's not even coming up with new concepts and ideas. It's just maybe it's knowing its worth, putting everyone's best foot forward and believing in what we're doing and not losing faith. Because we've been beat so bad over the last few years with the pandemic, and instructors, a lot of instructors aren't even instructors anymore. They've left the industry to go and find work elsewhere, which is really sad to hear. But we need people to be paid what they're due to be paid. We need people to keep training. Education is key. And keep your training regular and keeping your mind fresh. And then the industry from that should grow even more. We just need to let people know that we are here to support you in any way that we can. And also supporting events, supporting education. We just need to stay strong, I think, together.
The key words together, right? Because we're better together than
we're stronger together.
Absolutely. So if you could sum up group fitness in one word, what would that be?
Oh god. Fitness is it's everything. I was gonna say everything, because to me it's all I know. It's all I've known most of my adult life, so it literally is everything. And I can go back to it and get inspired from even watching, like you said, you see videos of, like, you know, like on Facebook, you get your memories, and else a video will pop up. Like a video popped up in 2008 of me playing in the studio to my Street 14. So back in the day when I did original artist music, Pure Energy, I did a Street 14. It was fire. And I was playing around in the studio dancing too. So finding that inspiration from a memory video and going, bring that back to the front. What was I doing? How can I move that way again?
It's amazing. I think sometimes it's nice to go back, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just the same stuff, isn't it? And we just need to, it's just packaged in different ways.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Appreciating as well where you've come from, what you've gone through, and where you are now, because the confidence that I have to stand in front of a room full of people now, I didn't have at the beginning. No way. I questioned everything. I hated everything. If I had a room full of 50 people and one person looked unhappy, I concentrated on that one person for the next 2 days, and it beat me up inside. What did it do wrong, blah, blah, blah. But you got to remember that the majority of the people in that class were very happy. And if they had a workout, they were sweaty, and they finished with a smile on their face, that's the priority.
I would have I would have thought that because you've come from a dance background, performing background, and like you said, when you were, you know, little, you kind of like taught it at school, well, I can do this, that, you know, you would be completely happy up front teaching classes.
No, but some days just aren't as easy as other days, and even presenting on big stages, I like studios. I love studios. I like getting in the thick of things. I like being up close and personal and watching the vibe, feeling the vibe. Sometimes when you're presenting, the stage can be very lonely and you can't feel the energy. And I remember teaching at one event and the lights, something went wrong with the lights and I could not see the room. And I felt like I was all on my own.
Yeah.
But the people at the end came up to me and go, "Oh my God, that was amazing." I was like, I've spent 60 minutes feeling like I was dancing on my own because I couldn't see you, I couldn't feel the energy, couldn't feel the vibe. And yeah, there's little things like that. It can be lonely on a stage. And put me in the studio any day where I can get in and I can try and just get the vibe of people, even like feeling the energy is absolutely everything.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think also you said about, you know, like feeling lonely when you're actually on stage.
Yeah.
In that instance. But I think also sometimes as a group fitness instructor, it can feel lonely.
Yeah.
Because once you've got your certificate, you're like out there. If you're freelancing clubs, you go in, you go out, you're not part of the team.
Yeah.
You know, if you're teaching the community, it's just, I know you've got your people, but like as an instructor, you're on your own. It can be quite lonely, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it can feel that way.
Have you always like kind of had a community of other instructors that you lean into?
I guess I have. Yeah, there's certain people that I like to keep around me. You learn very quickly. Some people can steal your thunder quite quickly, or like, what does my wife call it, a mood hoover, like people who suck the energy out of people, or people who like drama or gossip, and, oh, I heard this about this is happening in this class, and I heard this, and I don't want to know about all that, and that kind of puts you off getting too close to people. But then the certain instructors who will support you and you support them. So, like, yeah, I guess I have always had a nice network around me. I'm very careful who's in my circle, and see, I don't let a lot of people into my circle. It's very small. But when I was younger, I used to let everybody in, and then sometimes things just don't work out very well, or you feel like people are taking from you but not meeting you in the middle. So yeah, as I've got older, my circle is
mine too. It's gone like that. But yeah, you know, I think when you're younger, you kind of like, you're out there, you put yourself out there and you let everybody in, and then you just think, okay, you know, I just need a handful of that, that I know that I can lean on, you know, when I need them. Yeah.
Yeah, you learn who also your friends are as well. I had one girl who clung on to me quite badly. She was a friend. I thought she was cool. And then I learned that she said she's friends with me because she gets to travel for and go to events because I can go with her. And I was like, oh, is that the only reason you're my friend?
Yeah, it happens. So thank you so much for your time, Nikki. It's been lovely. Because like, I know we've been in this just as long as each other, but we've never really had our paths crossed that much.
Yeah, no, I'm thankful that you asked me to come and chat to you today, and I hope you like your new mix.
Yes, I'm going to try them. My new mix. So Pure Energy, those of you listening, Pure Energy, you just put a mix together. Nikki has put the mix together for me, so I'm going to try it out in my class this evening.
Yay!
It should be really cool. So I'll drop you a message back for that. So.
Yes.
So thank you so much. So if listeners want to get in touch with you or stay connected and follow what you do, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook or Instagram, just under Nikki Viozzi. I'm quite easy to find on social media, I think. So yeah, just drop me a little message, and if you have any questions or you want to ask about anything, I'm free.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.